How many of you know what a sinkhole is? Now that is a sinkhole. I used to hear about them a lot when I was growing up in Florida. Saw a few myself, but sinkholes can apparently happen just about anywhere. And you may have heard about this sinkhole that opened up in western Kentucky about a week ago. It opened up right beneath the floor of the National Corvette Museum at 5:45 in the morning. And it ended up swallowing 8 extremely rare Corvettes, 2 of which were valued over $1 million each. Car lovers across the country groaned with dismay. Now, what causes a sinkhole? Well, for a variety of different reasons, the soil and rock underneath the ground at the surface just erodes away so that everything collapses, everything sinks into the resulting hole that's been created. Well, there are physical and literal sinkholes. There are also emotional and spiritual sinkholes. It's when you feel as if your life has caved in somewhere or is about to give way. Another word for it might be stress, which is a word we probably know better than sinkhole. We know stress comes in all shapes and sizes. We know some people can handle more stress than others. We even know that some kinds of stress can be positive. We know that harmful stress affects all kinds of people, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, young, old, and let's be honest about it, it also affects Christians and non-Christians. And sometimes just the mounting concerns and pressures and struggles leave you exhausted, angry, strung out, feeling like you're falling into a bottomless pit. And here's a question that I want you to think with me about today. Does being a child of the one true King, it's kind of the message title that we're using for our study of Ephesians, does being a child of the one true King make any difference to how you experience and deal with sinkholes in life? I'm convinced that relief and renewal in the midst of stress comes through a fresh encounter with the love of God. And that truth is explained in the section of Ephesians that we want to consider today. We have the privilege this morning, brothers and sisters, of encountering a marvelous passage in God's Word. You know, when I visit people in the hospital or a nursing home or a rehab facility, this portion of Scripture is one of my go-to passages when I read some Scripture with them and pray with them. And it's sort of a wonderful parenthesis in Paul's letter. The passage right before this one and the one right after it are all about how we get the privilege of helping to build the Church of Jesus. But these verses are just, well, they're just kind of different, and yet they're wonderful. And so I invite you to let these incredible words just sort of wash over you and through you. Just take them in and let the Holy Spirit refresh your spirit by and through them. So what we're looking at today is Ephesians chapter 3, and it's the last half of that chapter, beginning at verse 14. So pull out your Bible, grab a pew Bible, look it up on your phone or your tablet, whatever, and follow along as I read this portion of God's Word, okay? Beginning at verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Well, this great Christian leader, Paul, wrote these words to Christians living in and around the city of Ephesus in the middle of the first century. They were going through some very stressful times themselves. And Paul himself was no stranger to stress or sinkholes. He'd been shipwrecked 3 times. He'd been whipped mercilessly on several occasions. He'd even been stoned and left for dead on one occasion. Oh, and don't forget, he was writing this letter from a prison cell in the city of Rome itself. In addition, he carried around with him at all times the spiritual and the emotional burden of the churches that he had helped to start in his years of being a missionary. Paul was a tough man who had learned that God is alive and well in a tough world. Did you notice that this is a prayer? And because it's a prayer, it gives us a window into what Paul wanted for his brothers and sisters there in Ephesus and the churches around Ephesus. And because we believe that Paul's words were, in fact, inspired by the Holy Spirit, they became more than just his own words, we get then a window of insight into what God wants for you and for me and for his people in the 21st century as well as the first century. And I want to throw out to you today 3 wonderful truths about the love of God that leap out to me from these verses. Here's the first one. God's love empowers you. God's love empowers you. How do you feel when you're under stress? Well, you often feel weak, don't you? Drained, exhausted, weary. You feel like you're walking through deep snow or in wet cement. And every step is an effort. Every decision is sort of a crisis. Can God help you when you feel weak? Well, look at verses 16 through 18. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. I hope that you notice in here the relationship between God's power and God's love. When you get a hold of God's power, or to put it in a better way, when God's power gets a hold of you, it will empower you even in times when you feel like you're collapsing into some kind of emotional or spiritual sinkhole. Now, I've got to admit that I often pray this way, which sometimes sounds a bit like whining, which is what? God, take away this problem. Please remove this stress. I feel weak. And sometimes God answers that prayer, but a lot of times God does not remove the stress, does he? Instead, he puts his power into us to deal with the stress and to climb out of the sinkholes. And I want you to notice what else this passage reveals about God's power. It comes as an aspect or a result of his glorious, unlimited resources. You see, God has a kind of a wealth that is beyond your imagination or mine. Yes, he ultimately owns everything in the material, physical world, but he also possesses everything of spiritual value. And he's willing to share with you and me out of that endless supply. True, that kind of wealth can sound foolish to people that don't have any use for God. That's why they end up preferring to trust in money or possessions or themselves. Anything and everything but God. But because you are a child of the one true King, you're invited to come to him and draw from a treasure chest of riches to find the power to live this life with joy. Then again, this power comes to you and me as a result of being rooted in the life-giving soil of God's love. Paul's just kind of throwing out all sorts of images to us here. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong, he says. And that invites me to imagine myself as this great massive tree. You know, Cheryl and I love to hike over at one of the metro parks, High Banks, on Route 23. And if you walk around on those trails, you come across some really huge, massive trees. And undoubtedly, they just have incredible root systems way down underneath the ground. And yes, the wind can blow. It'll knock down a few branches here and there on that tree, but the tree itself is fine. Why? It's the root system. And when you put your roots deep down into God and into his love, your life takes on a stability that it could not have otherwise. Yes, you might lose a branch here and there. But the real you, the most important part of you, will be fine. Because you're rooted in God's loving control of your life. You're rooted in the knowledge that God loves you, even in the midst of life's strong winds and heavy rain. You're rooted in the fact that as you keep on holding on to God, he will bring you through every stress that life presents. God's love is immense and powerful beyond description. I mean, Paul is struggling here to explain it to you and me. And all that God does and has done and will ever do is summed up in that one word, love. And that love can fill you and me with a mighty inner strength every day of our lives. So when you feel weak from having to deal with life stresses and sinkholes, when you feel a sinkhole coming on, what should you do? Consciously, prayerfully, worshipfully reflect on the vastness and the bigness of God's love. Call it to mind. Rest in it. Remind yourself of it. Thank God for it. God may or may not take you out of the sinkhole that you're in, but he does promise to give you the power to face and to overcome it ultimately. Here's another wonderful passage from God's Word that pretty much says the same thing. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God's love empowers you and me. Well, here's a second truth from Ephesians 3. God's love enlarges you and me. What does that mean? Well, stress can make you feel weak, yes. Stress also has another effect. It can make you feel withered. Withered. And if you look up that word stress in the dictionary, it will say something like this: strain, pressure, especially force exerted upon the body that tends to strain or deform its shape. Maybe that explains why some of us are in the shape we are. Stress can rearrange your emotional insides and leave you feeling withered and limited. Well, does this one true king have an answer for that when his children experience it? Look at verse 18 there. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love really is. You see, stress has this way of getting you and me to focus on ourselves. And when that happens, your viewpoint and your perspective become as limited and as narrow as you yourself. And your view of reality starts to get warped. It's kind of like the little boy that I read about growing up in the inner city. Okay, I'm getting warmed up now. It's like the little boy I read about who was growing up in the inner city. And he made his first trip ever out into the country. Never really been out in the country at all. And it was great just lying there on the grass. He'd never really been around grass that much. And seeing all the wildflowers everywhere. And suddenly a flock of sparrows flew across the sky. And his mother said, "Look there, Jimmy. See those pretty birds flying through the air?" Well, Jimmy had never actually seen a flock of birds like that flying through the air. And he looked at them and he said in a sad voice, "Poor little birds, they don't have any cages, do they?" His very narrow experience of life in the inner city led him to believe that birds were meant to live in cages instead of being free to fly wherever and whenever they desired. And in the same way, that's what stress can do to you and to me. It can leave this sort of withering effect on our vision and our perspective of life and what's real and what's true. And it is a fresh encounter with the love of God that enlarges you and me. How so? By getting your eyes and your focus off of the sinkhole and off of the stress and onto God Himself and the bigness of His love. The story of a pastor who had a rural congregation out in the country, so it wouldn't be surprising if one of his members happened to be a farmer, and he went to visit his friend at his farm one day, and he noticed that on the windmill at this friend's farm was written the words, "God is love." It was just painted there on the windmill. He was curious about that. He was intrigued. He asked his friend, "Well, does that mean that your faith in the Lord depends on which way the wind is blowing?" And the farmer said, "No, it means that regardless of which way the wind blows, God is love." Believe that? Regardless of which way the wind blows, God is love. For just a moment this morning, I want you to think with me about the vastness, the infinite largeness of God's love. How wide is God's love? It's wide enough to include every person of every age, from every country, of every race, every culture. How long is God's love? God's love is longer than life itself and longer than eternity itself. God knew about and He loved you even before He created the world. We learned that earlier in Ephesians. It's long enough to put up with our sinfulness, our foolishness, and welcome us back to God with open arms. How deep is God's love? God's love is deep enough to have Jesus, His Son, die upon a cross for your sins and for mine. It's much deeper than any sinkhole that you might find yourself in today or tomorrow. How high is God's love? It's higher than any mountain of trouble, any obstacle in life that you have to cross over or get around. It's higher than even heaven itself. And all too often, and I'm as guilty as anyone here, we bring our stress before God, trying to convince Him that it's just too big and would He just please remove it from our lives. Well, sometimes He will and sometimes He won't. But what we need more than anything else is to get our eyes off of the stress and onto the bigness of God's love. Anybody here been dreaming about lying on a beach or swimming in the waters of a warm ocean lately? Well, some of you, I've had conversations. There's a few that you took a weekend or a week and you did just that, didn't you? God bless you. We've had a very long winter this year, haven't we? Again, just use that your imagination with me today. I think that's something God's given us. Can you feel yourself splashing around in a warm ocean on a hot summer day right now? Just think about it. You relax in the warmth of that water. You thrill to the power of it all around you. You float in the buoyancy of it. You realize you can never measure it. God's love. It's just like that. It's like the words of the old hymn, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me, is the current of His love." God's love enlarges you. Well, a third and a final truth. God's love esteems you. Well, what do I mean by that? God's love esteems you. Well, stress can, yes, it can make you feel weak. Stress can make you feel withered. It also has the effect sometimes of making us feel worthless. Okay? Yeah, we live in a world that is always measuring us and evaluating us in different ways. And more often than not, all of us come up short. According to someone's scale or someone's survey or someone's expert opinion or whatever, you're not good looking enough. And you're not intelligent enough. And you're not old enough. You're not young enough. You're not educated enough. You're not wealthy enough. You're not healthy enough. And constantly facing that barrage of information, it can create stress. And if you're not careful, you can begin to feel insignificant and less than valuable and less than worthy somehow. Now, this might be kind of a new concept for you, but God's love actually esteems you. Well, how does it do that? Well, it says right there that God wants you to be the very dwelling place of the Lord Jesus Christ. See that in verse 17? Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. You know, this old world loves to put people into categories, doesn't it? Well, these are the very important people, and these are the kind of important people, and these are the sort of important people, and over there, those are the unimportant folk. And God never does that. In fact, the Bible is full of stories of God working through people who everyone else writes off as basically worthless. But that's the kind of people that God loves to use. Henri Nouwen was a Catholic priest, scholar, author who died a few years ago now. Henri Nouwen had a prestigious teaching career at Harvard University. Influence. Wrote books that everybody read. And then God called him to give it all up and work full time at a care center for the critically ill. And he, along with several others, was assigned the 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week care of a little boy named Adam, who suffered from a debilitating form of epilepsy. I mean, he basically had to have 24-hour, 7-day-a-week care. And one day, while calming Adam after yet another epileptic seizure, the Holy Spirit spoke into Henri Nguyen's heart spirit with this message: God loves Adam as much as he loves Henri Nguyen. And there's nothing Adam can do to be loved by God. God loves Adam just as he is. And that was a liberating experience for Henri Nguyen that brought him a profound sense of peace. But Pastor, doesn't God want you to become more and more like Jesus, his son, every day? Of course he does. Of course he does. But never lose touch with that fundamental and that magnificent truth. God loves you just as you are. God does not and he cannot love you more or less today, depending on your performance yesterday. And all of us are so performance-based. We think that God loves us more or less based on how we did yesterday. No. God cannot love you more or less than he does right now at this very moment. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. This is more than an occasional visit. This means to move in permanently. There's an incredible intimacy suggested there that comes from the original Greek words, which literally combine the phrase to live in a home with the word down. And as a result, an accurate translation might sound like this, that Christ may finally settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts. When stress begins to make you feel like you're about to fall into some kind of sinkhole of worthlessness, remember that you are a dwelling place, a home, a habitation for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God's love has this way of esteeming you and me. I wonder, have you ever had the experience of being in someone's home, but you weren't quite sure you were completely welcome there? That's awkward, to say the least. You see, it's one thing to be in a home. It's quite another to feel at home. Yes? And Jesus wants to feel at home in your life and mine. Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with you daily, hourly, moment by moment. Maybe that's what Paul is getting at when in verse 19 he says, "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." My friend, you and I can indeed be filled with the love of God. And Jesus not only wants to make your life, your inner spirit, his home, he wants to feel at home in your life and in mine. And that should make you feel very special, very valuable, very esteemed. God's love esteems you. So I want to ask you as we close today, does Jesus feel at home in your life today? Two construction workers finishing up the day's work. They were the only ones left at the job site. They were working on a high-rise apartment building. And they were inside of a large incinerator chimney, just doing some final work there. And one of the workers left to go and get some materials. He was going to bring it back and so forth. So this other worker was left there inside of this incinerator chimney all by himself. And suddenly, with no explanation or whatever, his safety line that was strapped around him broke. And there he found himself just falling down through this incinerator chimney shaft. And he had the presence of mind to reach out and to grab a rope, a safety rope that had been put inside of this chimney from the very top to the very bottom. Now, it was pitch dark inside of that chimney. He could not see a thing, and he was just hanging on to that rope for dear life. And as he was hanging there, he began, I mean, it was a while. He was hanging there. He began to feel his muscles tiring. And he didn't think he was going to be able to hold on to this rope that much longer. He was already kind of slipping down this rope, and he just didn't know how much longer he could hold on to it. Well, by this time, his coworker, his friend, had come back to the place where they were at, and he looks there, and his friend's nowhere to be seen. And of course, he's extremely concerned about this, and so he makes his way down to the bottom of the work site as quickly as he can. And he runs over to where the door into this incinerator chimney is located. And before he gets to inside, he can hear someone saying inside, "Help me. Save me. Dear God, save me." And he opened the door into the base of that incinerator chimney. And what he saw there was completely unexpected. There was his friend holding tightly to that rope, as tightly as he could, and his feet were 6 inches off the ground. And the only thing that he could think to say was, "It's fine. Just let go. You'll be fine." And I wonder if the Holy Spirit needs to say into your spirit this morning, just let go. It's going to be okay. Fall into the love of God. Stress has this way of making you and me feel weak and withered and worthless. And what you and I need desperately is to get a new vision of the vastness and the bigness of the love of God. Because God's love empowers you, and God's love enlarges you, and God's love esteems you. And that is part of who you are, part of your identity as a child of the one true King. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this majestic portion of Scripture. It's just one of those, Lord, that you just never feel like you even begin to scratch the surface of all that is there. It's kind of like your love, Lord. It is vast, it's beyond our comprehension, and yet it is the foundation of our lives. If we didn't have your love, what would we have? And so, Father, I know in our congregation today that there are many of us that are dealing with stresses and real sinkholes and potential sinkholes that just are really scary. And Lord, we need a fresh vision of your love and your grace in our lives. The love that empowers us, the love that enlarges us, the love that esteems us. Father, we pray that we might move this morning into just a new experience of that we might leave this place encouraged and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.